I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm a child of God.
I have wisdom
by the Spirit of God.
The Word tells me
the person that's wise,
that's me,
winneth souls.
I'm a soul winner
for the Almighty God.
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we can come together in this wonderful atmosphere, people of like faith, and we can honor God, and we can just be absorbed by His presence and by the power of His Spirit, and how wonderful and how nice it is. But while God is so pleased with that, and God is right in the middle of that, there's a part in His heart that's aching, because there's people that should be in the place, and I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about in the place in Jesus, that they're not. But they can be, because you've done confessed what the Word says about you, that you are wise and you're a soul winner. Amen. You are a soul winner. It's not about what church you belong to. It's not about where you go to worship, because worship is in your heart. And you are the church. Amen. So it's about what? It's about doing what God called us to do. Jesus said, the way you can gauge how much you love me in John 14:15, He said, is by how you keep my word, how you keep my commandments. Well, the commandments, yes, they are universal, but they are so personal. They're so personal because it's about your life and my life moment by moment. Amen?
I love that I'm here. And we as a body of believers are just right on the cusp of stepping through that, of people coming in here and being saved and changed their hearts. You know, all we got to do is see it through the eyes of the Lord with our heart and step into His grace and His blessings and carry it through. We're just right there. I mean, right there.
Yes. 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 Amen. That's so neat that you said that, Brother Donnie. That's so wonderful that the Holy Spirit gave you that vision, because I got a prophetic word yesterday from a man in Missouri. And that prophetic word was exactly what you said. That the door is opened for us to step into the next thing God would have for us, and that is winning souls. That's there. It's there. And that is so true. But we've got to see ourselves the way God sees us, and we've got to step into what He's labeled us. Our identity is in Him. It has nothing to do with the past, that the world, that the old lineage, because we are a brand new lineage. Amen? We're a new creature, new creation in Jesus Christ. And all of those things of the past that were a stumbling block without Jesus, with Jesus, are just a stepping stone. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Let's open up our Bibles. Mark chapter 16 and Revelation 21. Mark chapter 16 and Revelation 21. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. When you're there, say amen. Mark 16:15. This is Jesus talking to us. And look what He says. And He said unto them, unto His disciples, say that's me. And He said unto them, unto His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized into the body of Christ, he is baptized, shall be saved. Hallelujah. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Revelation 21. Verse number 6, Revelation 21:6, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely, O glory. And he or she that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse number 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes, Lord.
Let us still our minds and open our hearts, Lord, and understand what's truly being installed in our hearts, souls, and lives, Lord. I pray for the grace and liberty and the love and one another and each other to go forth to the world in love with one another and each other, Lord. And I give you all the glory and all the praise,
yes,
for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Hallelujah. So we see that we have a mandate tonight. And that mandate is that, as we continue from where we started this morning, that, you know, I told you that the Spirit of God emphatically dealt with me that you and I have got to be in the place where we continually have fresh faith. Fresh faith. And he said that if you have fresh faith, it will make your life so radically different that someone who hasn't saw you in a short period of time, they will look at you and take a second look because the change is so dramatic in you from the inside out. Amen. Because that's what fresh faith does. Because faith causes you an action on your part, an action on my part. And so here we see that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he speaks a word to them. And every time that you and I hear a word, it brings faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when we hear by the Spirit of God, the faith, that gift of faith that was dealt to you and I, it just explodes in our life. And it empowers us. And so tonight I want you and I to be in a place, in a position where we say, Lord, I'm going to no longer imprison that faith inside of my old way of thinking, my old way of acting, inside of this carnal situation. I'm going to walk in the newness of life. Amen. And so when we do that, we see why Jesus wants us to so desperately, because he said that the balance of souls determines on how you and I receive his command. His command is for us to go somewhere, to be a vessel in our world. We may not have to ever go overseas, though the Spirit of God may call you to do something dramatic and exciting like that, but it can be just as dramatic and exciting in everyday life, because you have a harvest field. I have a harvest field, and he said that it was going to boil down to one of two things. People are going to believe and go to heaven, they're going to be saved, or they're not going to believe, and they're going to go to hell. And so tonight, you and I need to see that the lake of fire is real, just as real as heaven is. But what we want to do is we want to bring a message of hope and a message of confidence that there is a God that loves them, and he loved them so much that he sent Jesus for them, and then he sent you to represent his son. You have the ability to carry the anointing, to carry the message and the authority that Jesus carried, but you have to believe it. You have to allow yourself to be enlightened to this truth. Amen? Go with me to the book of Ephesians. Paul, this is his first prayer for the church at Ephesus, and this is a prayer that is so powerful. He starts praying in verse number 16, Ephesians 1:16. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And notice what he says. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, you and I tonight, this prayer is being prayed over us just like it was the church at Ephesus. Because this epistle is written to you. It's written to me. And just as Paul prayed it, de facto for those people who were there, this prayer is still going forth in your life and my life right now. And we need to be in the place and the position that we pray that same prayer over our lives and over those that we come in contact with, either physically or spiritually. And when we pray that prayer has already been authorized from heaven, and it's going to be answered. Amen? And so tonight, you've made the confession that you are wise. You have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is simply, I want to believe God above what I see or what I feel. I trust the Lord above all of those things. And when you say that, then all of a sudden, after the wisdom comes the revelation. And tonight, God wants to inspire you by the Spirit of God who you really are. Your identity as a soul winner. Your identity as being a vessel that can bring a risen Savior to those who are lost and undone, to those who are bound, to those who are in a place where the enemy has the very life turned upside down. But by you yielding to the Lord and following the Spirit of God, their world that is turned upside down in the natural, all of a sudden, it can be turned upside down in the spiritual.
Amen.
That's a good thing. Amen? Now notice what he said here in verse number 18, Ephesians 1:18. He said that the eyes of your understanding, it doesn't really matter what we see with these carnal eyes. What matters is what we see by the eyes of the Spirit. And he wants us to see some things that will give us understanding that will propel us past the limitation of the flesh. See, a lot of times we can see something in the natural with the carnal eyes, and that'll create a fear, a hesitancy, uncomfortableness in the natural, where we won't do what we're supposed to do. We won't say what we're supposed to say. And so when that vision starts manifesting itself, we need to say no. I know what Paul prayed. I know what I prayed. I know how Jesus on the right hand of the Father is making intercession for me, and I receive that prayer. I'm not going to be limited by what I see in the natural. I'm going to do what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to allow that faith to cause somebody to come out of the grips of hell and come into the place and the position that Jesus died for. Oh, glory. Now, notice. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the hope of your calling, my calling, in Jesus Christ, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I want you to see, and that just is so overwhelming to me tonight. Think about this. As you look up into heaven, and Jesus is looking back at you and I from the right hand of the Father, he is saying that you are his inheritance. That's powerful. Now think about it. Psalms 24:1, 1 Corinthians 10:26, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you and I had to be bought back from the devil, from hell, death, and the grave by the blood of Jesus. And now Jesus is saying, that's my people. I call you by my name. You're my inheritance. Amen. So when the devil tells you you are of no value, you can't do this and you can't do that, when the devil asks you, what qualifies you to do that? Amen. The Lord, Jesus does. Amen. He called you. He anointed you and he qualified you. Amen. So let's build our faith tonight, because remember I said the Spirit of God, the anointing of God is going to come on you tonight because you're going to hear. You're going to say yes to what you hear. And this is going to be a great night of change, because you're going to have an anticipation like you've never had before. You're going to have a hope like you never had before, because revelation is going to come into your spirit by the Holy Ghost. Amen? This is what's going to happen. And why is it going to happen? Because you're going to build your faith and you're going to let it loose. Amen? You're going to let it loose. Let's look at some things that will build you up tonight. Go with me. Very familiar verses of Scripture. But let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I want you to see the power of a person believing Jesus. Amen? You could quote the story. You know it very well. Jesus, in the first part of the chapter, he says, I must needs to go through Samaria. And he goes to the lady at the well. Everybody know the story? Okay. So Jesus goes and he meets her where she's at. Ain't you glad that Jesus meets us where we're at? And so why would we want to do anything else? When we go to somebody, let's let the Holy Spirit show them where they're at. Show them right from wrong. Let's don't label things, and let's don't make them feel uncomfortable. Let's make them feel the love of God. Because that love never fails, and that love will pull them out of where they're at, because that's what pulled you and I out. Amen? Now notice, Jesus comes and he talks to her, and he reveals all the things of her heart to her. And so we don't have a lot of time for that, but let's drop down. And Jesus makes this statement to her, and in verse number 24. He says, God is a spirit. John 4:24, he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, worship God, must worship him in spirit and truth. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, unto Jesus, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, he done proved that, right? Because he read her heart. He said, the man that you're with now, he's not your husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with is not your husband. He told her all of these things. So he confirmed the word, but he didn't tell it to her to condemn her. He told her to tell her, I made all this trip around to where you're at because I want to take you from where you're at to the place that I've destined for you. Amen? Amen? That's how much love he had. And so he tells her, he said, don't worry about the place of worship. Worry about the heart of worship. You know, she was concerned about whether I go to Jerusalem or whether I worship in this mount. Jesus said, it's not about that. It's about letting me show you that I want to worship you. I want you to worship me where you're at in your spirit. Amen? And so notice what happens when this revelation comes to her. Verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Notice verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. Now this is the most valuable thing that she had. This was her life source. And she set that water pot down because she had changed sources. She all of a sudden knew and understood that out of her now was going to flow wells. Come on. The well of salvation was now inside of her because she had accepted Jesus as the Messiah. She had said, I believe that you are Christos. You are the anointed one. All of those things that have kept me bound, all of those things that have hurt me. This lady, I want you to feel her pain, the things that she had been through, the things that she had struggled with, and the point of view that she had had from how people viewed her in her community, and all of those things. All of a sudden, when she met the Christos, the Christ, the anointed one, all of those hurts were broke off, and he reached down and he healed her spirit. He healed her heart from the inside out. Amen? And all of a sudden, she knew who he was, and it was so powerful that it unleashed the faith that he had placed in her, and she wants to go and what? Tell somebody. Amen. See, you and I, we can't help but tell what God's done for us. We've got a story to tell. Brother Duckett's going to share a testimony here in a moment and tie this service together. God wants you and I to do supernatural things.
Right.
You are an extraordinary person because you're saved, blood bought by an extraordinary, the only true God. Amen? Think about it. Now, notice this. The woman left her water pot, and she went her way into the city, and she saith to the men. This helps me so much. This is the kind of God we serve. Now, in this day and age, they disdained her. They had no respect for her because, first of all, she was a woman, but because of her reputation. But all of a sudden, you see, when Jesus calls you, he qualifies you, and he puts you in a place and a position where your words are not just a bunch of words, but they are anointed seed. And he put the words down in her spirit, in her life, and she walks and she goes right to the men who needed the message the most. See, the devil tries to keep us away from the people who needs the message the most because they try to tell you and I, look it through the carnal eyes, look through the natural. You know they don't like you. You know they don't respect you. Do we? Sometimes the way people treat you is because they're afraid of what you know and what you've got that will change where they're at, and they don't want to make the change. Oh, that's a good place to shout.
Yes,
oh, my. She went right head on, and she met him. Amen? Not on her own, but she met him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, look at this. You know the story. But she said, come see a church. Come see what I think. Come see a man. See, we got to get our eyes off of trying to build our own little kingdoms. What's wrong right now? We got too many people trying to build their own ministry, their own church. Hey, it's Jesus' church or it's not a church. Amen?
Amen.
Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Look, she gets right where they're at and she says, I know what you think about me. I know what you've said about me. But let me tell you about the one who told me all I ever did. And when he done it with an anointing that brought truth. He done it with an anointing that destroyed the yoke of sin off my life. He done it with an anointing that filled my heart with the love of God. He done it with an anointing that brought me from where I was at and set me in the place of the rock where I will not fall, I will not fail. You cannot fail tonight. Amen? You have a destiny. You have an authorization from heaven. You've got a vision and a plan from God. And because of that, it doesn't matter what comes against you. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. Amen? You're on top. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're above. You're not beneath. Amen? You've got to see that identity. You've got to allow that revelation, that glory to shine in you. Let it to be so real to you that you're not intimidated by anything. Because it's about Him. It's not about you and I. It's about Him. Amen? All right. She said in verse number 30, then they went out of the city and came unto Him. See, the devil's tried to convince us that when we talk about Jesus, nobody's going to listen. There are going to be some that will hear and receive. It's not up to you and I. The pressure's not on you to save anybody because you can't. The pressure's not on me to save anybody because I can't. The only pressure on us is to say, God, here I am. I'm your vessel. I'll open my mouth. You fill it. That's the only pressure. It's just standing there when the devil's saying, you can't do this. No, I can't. But he can. Amen? All right. Drop down to the end of the chapter with me. Look what happens. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him, on Jesus. Why? For the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. See, I can't win anybody to the Lord telling somebody about somebody else's testimony. I got to tell my testimony. I got to tell what Jesus did in my life. You got to tell what Jesus did in your life. Your testimony is powerful. It's personal, and it doesn't belong to anybody else. It's yours and the Lord's. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't ever let anybody belittle your testimony because it's His story in your life. Amen?
Glory.
Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to Him, they besought Him, they besought Jesus, that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 more days. And many more believed because of His own word. Now said they unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying alone. In other words, you can't have faith by somebody else's testimony. You've got to have your own. That's what they're saying. For we have heard Him ourselves, and we know that this indeed the Christ, He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, can you imagine? See, the disciples, they didn't understand. They were worried about going and getting something to eat. And they couldn't believe that Jesus was wasting His time talking to this lady. That's how valuable. Think about Jesus. Every step He took, just like yours, is ordered of the Lord. He had only 3.5 years to fulfill everything that was written about Him. And so He was in a time frame. But His time frame was that she was of the most value. You think about that tonight. The Holy Ghost showed up in your life, in my life. He's right here wrapping His arms around us. You feel Him. I feel Him. Why? Because His time is for you. For me. Oh, that's exciting. Some people don't want to give us time. But Jesus does. Amen? Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's look at something else. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. We could have looked there in Luke. But let's look at this in Mark. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at the power of when revelation comes when you meet Jesus. Mark 5 and 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. Now notice that. His dwelling was among the tombs. That dwelling means a fixed position. He was abiding in death. But Jesus went, made a special trip to where he was at. Remember? He fought the storm just to get there. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now notice this. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, can you imagine the heart of the Father as he looked down and he saw this situation? Now, this man being totally not oppressed but possessed by the devil, he had no hope. Because until Jesus came, by the finger of God, demons could not be cast out. But now, since Jesus came on the scene, and even tonight, because you've been authorized to take up serpents, to cast out devils, they do not dominate people like they did before the very cross of Jesus Christ. But here Jesus comes to this man because of the heart of the Father. And he ministers to him. I want you to see, this man is literally a madman. And a lot of times, you know, even in Bibles, if you look at commentaries, I get tickled. Even after he gets delivered, they keep talking about the madman from Gadara. Well, he's no longer the madman. But he had to see himself changed, and he had to see that his strength was not in just being with Jesus in the natural, but being with Jesus in the spiritual. He had to allow Jesus to teach him that, hey, I'm going to be with you. Because just in a few days, I'm going to go to the cross. And after I go to the cross, then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be with you. You don't have to be with me in a physical situation. You're with me in a spiritual, which is even stronger. Amen? Now stay with me just for a second. Do you know the story? Jesus, he cast this demon's out of him. They go into the 2,000 swine. You know the story. But I want you to see the power of what happens. Verse 15. Mark 5:15. And they came to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with the devil and that had the legion sitting, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Don't that seem strange? I would have been afraid before rather than after. Because they didn't understand. But here this man is. All of a sudden, he's went from a madman to a man in his right mind because he's touched with Jesus. So the reason why we're looking at this, you and I, we may be called to the lady like Jesus was at the well that had a situation of heart being injured from the outside going in. And we may be called to somebody who's injured where the devil has done went to the core of the matter, but it doesn't matter what the need is. You serve a God. You have a mandate from heaven. You have an anointing from heaven. You have a mantle on your life to do what Jesus did. For this reason was Jesus manifested, that he would what? He would destroy the works of the devil. Well, when you and I, when we manifest, when we reveal Jesus, the faith, the call, the work that he has in your life, in my life, he's destined, the same works will come out of your life. Remember John 14:12? Jesus said, these works that I do, ye might do. And if I'm not doing it, I'm not obeying his commands. Remember, that's John 14:12. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, everybody's wanting greater works. He said, greater works shall you do. We're not going to do the greater works until we do what he told us. These signs shall follow them that. We do the five signs, then the greater works will come. And they're right on the horizon. Because Jesus is getting ready to pour out an anointing that will bring in the last harvest. The great outpouring. But you and I have got to get in position to receive. Amen? All right. So he's got this. It's coming. It's coming. He's got this lady. Now he's got this. The former madman of Gadara to be a missionary. Can you believe this? From just a moment of time, going from a madman to a missionary. That's what Jesus does. Change. Change. But see, if I identify with the old, I'll never accomplish the new. We cannot look back. We look up. In verse number 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed Jesus. He asked Jesus that he might be with him, he might stay with him. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have compassion on thee. See, we've got to see that being close to Jesus is not about a position in the natural. It's about a spiritual relationship. And so Jesus has to bring this revelation to him where he can understand, I want you to take the truth that I've gave you. I want you to take it and expand it, expound it, reveal it out of your life in a true manner. Amen? And so he gets this man in the place and the position where he sees it's not about what used to be, but it's about all things are possible. Right? If you'll believe, if I believe, all things are possible. And so verse 20, he obeys that command because he had that love placed in his heart and he wanted other people to experience forgiveness as he did. Look at verse 20. And he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. See, that's the power of your testimony. Your testimony can make somebody see the love of God. But you've got to embrace your testimony and thank God for your testimony. Don't let the devil belittle it. So many times people, you talk to them and they go, well, I don't really have nothing to say what God done for me. That's not true. That's not true. You are a walking miracle. When you get born again, that's the greatest miracle that could ever happen. And so you're a walking miracle. You are walking in the breath of life the way that it was intended that we gave away in the garden. All right. So I want you to see, if you keep reading here, Jesus, he goes over and he comes back to this place and many more believe because of the testimony of this man who is now a missionary. But see, you've got to see yourself as a soul winner or you'll never do it. You'll be intimidated. You'll think that somebody else is going to do it. We've got to look and we've got to ask ourselves, I want to be like we preached on this morning. I want to be like Stephen. I want to be like Philip. I want to see something that needs to be done because God has revealed it to me and I'm just going to do it. Amen? We've got to take what God gives us, and we've got to walk in it. Remember the story where John, in John chapter 7, I believe it is, Jesus, he heals the blind man. And they come and they try to take his testimony away from him, the religious people do. They tell him that Jesus is a sinner and all these things. And remember what the blind man said? He said, I don't know about what you're talking about. All I know is that I once was blind. That's all we got to say is, hey, I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you. You can think what you want to, but let me tell you. I know where I was before Jesus. I know where I'm at now with Jesus. See, they can't take your testimony and twist it. Because your testimony is real, it's true, it's genuine. Amen? Amen? So tonight, we want to be in the place and the position will we see that we know what God said is true. God, Romans 12:3, once again, God has dealt to you the measure of faith. You have the perfect measure to do what needs to be done. Yes, we're to add to that. We're to grow. We're to build on that. But the way we do it is we use what we got. If we wait around, wait, well, someday when I get this and I get that, I'll do this and I'll, you know. Jesus said, he who is faithful over least would be faithful over much. We'll be faithful over what we've got right now. He's going to give you more and more and more. Amen? So what I want us to do, I want us to take this revelation that just these... We didn't take time to go into the third person, the blind man, but these three people, and see that God wants to do the same thing through us. And if you'll believe that, and if you'll receive that, and if you'll make you an altar, whether it's your chair or up here at the front, I believe that God's going to drop a mantle on you. A mantle of urgency. A mantle that will make... that will enable you to be able to see those who the Father is targeting. Because, see, there's a sign, there's a time and there's a season when the Spirit of God is drawing and ministering to certain people. And you can just close your eyes by the Spirit of God and you can see. You know, Brother Duckett, when I was praying about this, I remember talking to you about when you were in the service and you were talking about hot spots. In the war, but the Spirit of God said just like there was hot spots of the enemy when you were serving there. There's hot spots in the spirit on the positive side where God is dealing with a certain group of people at a certain time, and you're going to be able, just like that radar, you're going to be able to pick up on that in the spirit, and because you're faithful in what He shows you. See, we need to be so faithful in things that seem so silly. You realize giving somebody a stick of gum can open up a conversation that makes all things possible? Silly things. Well, why does that matter? Don't matter. He knows. Just do it. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for this time, this wonderful opportunity, Lord, that we have. People of like faith, Lord, to be able to be empowered, to be able to allow the faith that you have gave us to be unleashed by the Spirit of God, to step forward into what you've called us to do. Lord, I ask for the Spirit of God that you would touch and draw each person here. Help us to make an altar and help us to receive that mantle to where we can see those hot spots. We can see where the Father's eyes are landing and where the Spirit of God is maneuvering and hovering over the places that look dark and deep. But where we can hear the Spirit say, let there be light in that situation, in that circumstance, and you and I being the light of Jesus Christ, we can take it to them. Lord, let it be. Let it be, Father. Let there be newfound freedom to do what you called us to do for your glory. In Jesus' name. Would you come? Would you come and make yourself an altar? And say, Lord, I believe this. I receive this word tonight. I receive the reality of what you're wanting to do in me and through me. That you're going to make my testimony more powerful than I ever dreamed possible. Because it's what you have done in that testimony. It's your will through that testimony. Would you come tonight? Let the power of the Spirit of God touch you. There's some of you here tonight that you've been, the devil has hurt you. I don't know everything about it, but the devil has hurt you and he's used people against you, and that has created anxiety about stepping forward and doing what God called you to do. Tonight, would you let Him heal every heart issue where that will no longer be a way for the enemy to stop and to hinder the goodness and the greatness and the glory of God from coming through your life. Would you come? Time is short.